Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together on a regular basis and talk about our walk with Christ.
Today, we're going to be talking about truth. Now, as Christians, it's very important for us to stand up for truth from a biblical perspective. But it's also important to know and understand what truth is. And we also need to be able to present and defend it in a way which doesn't compromise, but also doesn't use it as a weapon. We got to do a lot of stuff, Jeff.
I know it. Well, we're going to start out with reading 1 Peter 3:15. Hear the word of the Lord. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Gentleness and respect.
Yeah. So we're always meant to make a defense. What's that about, you think?
Well, we have to, I think one of the things, we have to understand. So one of the questions I ask, and it's seems simple, but what is truth? What is truth? Because today there's your truth and my truth, which I think I read this in an article a few years ago that would have been my opinion and your opinion.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. So objective truth is what we're talking about. So objective truth is something true for everyone, whether you agree with it or not. That's not important. But there are certain things that are completely true, whether you agree with it. Gravity is truth. Okay, the 2021 Chicago Bears were the greatest football team of all time is my truth. That's my truth,
okay.
Jeff. That's my truth.
I see.
You see the difference there.
Yeah. And you believe it sincerely, am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you see, that's part of this. I think that you hit on the key of it, that this idea of my truth is it doesn't take away the sincerity on the person having this truth, but it misidentifies it because it's not actually truth. It's opinion.
Right.
And you're allowed your opinion. Your opinion about the Chicago Bears may be, to me, foolish in the extreme, but it gets to be yours.
And it does.
I can't fault you for having an opinion like that.
Well, thank you.
I guess I could, actually, but I won't. And kindness and fairness and the fact I like you, I won't make fun of that particular opinion.
I appreciate that, but I wouldn't blame you if you did. And we're being kind of facetious here, but there is a point to it that's, you know, my opinion is my opinion, and that's fine, but there are truths in life, and there's also, you know, there's also biblical truths too. There's a way that we're supposed to lead our lives, and when we read the Bible, we say, well, is this the Word of God? Is this really the Word of God? And there's some good stuff about it. I know Timothy.
Yeah. Paul, writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy 3:16, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture is breathed out. Many of the versions of the Bible say all Scripture is inspired by God, which indicates that what happened was God inspired people and they wrote in their human writing. But the way it's written here and the way it is in the Greek, the way Paul intended for it to be read, was all Scripture is breathed out by God. So even though there was a human writer that wrote on the papyrus, the various stories in the Bible, the fact is that it was more than inspired by God. It was actually breathed out by God.
And I think that's very important. Along with it's in John, where the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. So you're thinking, okay, so the word isn't just, it's another way to describe God. So to me, when I read these, and put them together, to me, we can absolutely count on everything in the Bible as being good and true, and the way that life should be ordered. God didn't do anything by accident. God had a plan for everything, and it is all in there. So I think that's, if you start from there, that's a very good place to start and understand that the Word of God is the Bible, and it is truth.
Absolutely, it is truth. And it's a guidebook for humanity, isn't it?
Yes.
We have this guidebook. It's how to live a life. Now, all of these things, these restrictions, these commandments. Now, we don't like restrictions on anything, do we? Do you like restrictions, Pat?
No.
No, I'm not a fan either. I don't want to be restricted. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, period. End of story. I'm my own boss. So there we have it. But we're given these instructions for our own good. We're given freedom within limits. The limits are designed for our own good, not because God is capricious and he would like to do something mean just for the sake of meanness. It isn't that at all. It's all meant for our own good.
Well, and as you discover more and more in the Bible, what you find, and it seems sort of odd, but for those of us who have discovered this, the more you submit, the more you start reading and understanding the Bible and actually do what the Bible says, even though it seems quote unquote restrictive, the more freedom you find. That's the only way I can describe it. It sounds odd, but that is the truth, that you find freedom by submitting and doing God's will.
Yeah, and that's so countercultural. So counterculture, because we're in this culture that is, you know, I'm my own boss. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and I develop my own truth.
Right, right.
And that circles back to this idea of truth. I define my own truth. I believe in things I want to believe in. I don't believe in things just because they're true.
Right.
Yet we are meant to do that, aren't we? We're better off believing in the truth in everything and being completely honest at all times. We are better off.
And if we actually come up with our own truths, then we're putting our truths ahead of Scripture, and it's not going to work. So if we're interested in coming up with our own truths, we really are not interested in Scripture. So if that's where you're at, you have to start praying and thinking about where you're really at. I prefer to go another direction, and maybe I think actually it's getting countercultural to say things like this. John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what does that say to you, Jeff?
Yeah, now that's a tough one, isn't it? We like the first part. I mean, it's okay.
Oh, yes.
Jesus is a great teacher. We like the first part. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, well, I'm for that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I don't dispute that. I'm sure that that's true. But then you have the second part, this statement of exclusivity, where he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. It doesn't say most people come to the Father through me. It says certain kinds of people come to the Father through me. It says no one comes to the Father except through me. This statement of exclusivity makes this completely different, doesn't it? It changes everything. It's easy to believe the first part, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can see that, can't we? We can see how Jesus was this great teacher, this great moral teacher. It's the second part that people have trouble with. It's the truth of the second part that people have trouble with.
And that's why they have trouble with it. And it can be difficult, because then, again, it goes back to submitting. It goes back to admitting that you can't do this on your own, that there is a God in the universe who created us, who loves us, who came down and died for us. Because I think it's human nature to say, but certainly, certainly, Jeff, Pat, certainly, there's something I can do.
Yeah.
I thought that for years. Oh, there has to be something. There has to be something. No, there isn't. There is. You can open up your heart to Jesus Christ, and you can let him in, and then everything kind of flows from there. Everything will start from there. He'll just say, let me take your burdens. Let me come on in, and I will take direction of your life.
Yeah, it's just the truth, isn't it? It's hard for us to do, but it is the best thing to do, and it's actually simple. But surrender is not simple. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
We don't surrender to anything,
no.
Right?
No, and especially in today's society.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, everything that we do in today's society is a competition, and a competition is something in which I win and you lose.
Yep.
So it isn't just good enough that I win. The other half of it is you must lose. So for me to win completely to a point of my full satisfaction, someone else has to lose. We can't have both of us winning. We have to have one of us win, one of us lose. And this is hard. This idea of surrendering is not something that is easy for us. It's nearly impossible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we're in this conundrum. We're in this conundrum where we know what we should do, but everything in our society is arrayed against doing just that thing. And as you said a minute ago, the interesting thing is that if we do it, if we do the surrender, our lives will be better. We will find peace that was not available to us before. We'll find a lack of anxiety. We'll find happiness in ways that we never even imagined. It's waiting for us, but we reject it, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And part of it is, you know, how are you influenced? I think there's been studies that the family influences, but friends, especially when young people are growing up, you know, friends have a big influence on you. And with everything in the culture to distract, people can get distracted. Even as adults, there's a lot of things that can distract us, lead us down the wrong paths that society says, hey, this is a good path to go down, because, you know, society is very... it's very permissive. It's very open. And not everything that is in society is good. And even some things that look good aren't all that good. And as Christians, we shouldn't partake in them. So when you stand up for Jesus Christ and a belief, you know, society looks at us as sometimes we're a little odd. Now, they like some of the things that the Christian church does. But when it starts to get into the exclusivity thing, when it mm-hmm. starts to say, hey, you know what, the gospel will meet you where you are, and it absolutely will. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are. The gospel, Jesus Christ, will meet you wherever you are. But here's the other part of his promise. He's not going to leave you where you are. He's going to pick you up, and he is going to bring you along. And I've found that sometimes that is a message that society isn't all that ready for, and can be hostile towards.
Yeah, and part of the hostility comes because of the way Christians have presented Christ in the world.
Yes,
and they, you know, and this verse that we used at first Peter 3:15, at the end of it, it says it tells us what to do, and then it says do it with gentleness and respect. And I feel like when somebody follows me down the street demanding that I accept Christ, that's not doing that in gentleness and respect. And even though I'm a Christ follower, when somebody does that, I'm walking on. I'm not paying attention. It so puts me off. And I think that's what people have seen so often with Christians. The way we present Christ is in such a confrontational way that it puts people off, and they go, I don't want what they have. I don't want what they're selling. I just don't want it. And we're meant to do it in a different way. We're meant to do this with gentleness and respect. And it isn't our job as humans to convert everybody. We're not meant to go out in the street and wrestle somebody to the sidewalk and demand they accept Christ. It is absolutely positively not going to work. We're just meant to give them a tap on the shoulder. We're meant to show them by the example of our life what it's like to be a Christian. And that example will go a long way, actually a long way further than confronting people and demanding that they accept Christ. They'll see us in our lives. They'll see the fruit of our lives. And they'll say, you know what? That person is somebody special, not because of they are, but because of their belief system.
And I think you got hit on a bunch of great points there, and I do agree. I think this goes back to understanding exactly how you defend truth, or what the truth is, and then understand that, well, you know what? Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and he is Lord of my life, and what can I do to achieve my salvation? Nothing, because he already did it, and you let him take the lead. So in letting him take the lead, all you have to do, your responsibility isn't going to be to save another person. There's nothing, again, it goes back to there's nothing we can do. This is a God thing. All we are meant to do is just have a conversation and explain. And you know what? Some people will accept. Some people won't. Many people may not accept right there. It may be years. We may never even see the fruits that we planted seeds on. All we're doing, and we've discussed this before, all we're doing is planting seeds, because it isn't us. It's God working through us. So whether someone accepts or doesn't, that is not for us to worry about. We do, because I think it's human nature to want to see that, you know, to want to think that we had something to do with changing this person. And sometimes it'll happen in front of you, sometimes it won't. But either way, it's not for us to worry about because it's not us doing it. And if you keep that in mind, I think it becomes easier to go ahead and stand up for the truth because, you know what, regardless of how the conversation turns out, it's okay because God's in charge anyway. It's not on us. It's not on us. We're just delivering the message. And I think it by keeping that in mind, it's going to help us deliver this in a loving fashion because the for lack of a better way to put it, the pressure's off us.
Yeah, the pressure's off us. You know, you lead into this beautiful parable of the sower. And it was a parable that Jesus said about a sower sowing seeds. And let me just read this because it comes to exactly the point you were talking about. We don't have to see this to fruition. We don't have to expect that everyone we're going to present Christ to is going to become a Christ follower. Certainly, as you said, Pat, it may happen years and years later. But in this parable, Jesus says, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since there was no depth of the soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since there was no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Well, there it is. So we don't know. As we spread these seeds, we won't know what the outcome is. And most of the seeds we spread will come to nothing, but some will. And those some will come to a harvest for the Lord, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold, a great harvest for the Lord just by spreading these seeds, not expecting, not demanding that they are going to work, but instead just doing it, just being ourselves and doing what we feel we need to do, what we can do, importantly.
And if you do it calmly and you do it just sort of matter-of-factly, when just in normal everyday conversation and you bring it up casually, I think things will go a lot better when you bring it up. And I've had people bring it up to me as I refer to it as using the Bible as a baseball bat. And it's sad, yeah. but it's true. And you know what? They're fellow believers, but man, I don't want to hang around them.
Yeah,
you know, because it can be difficult to hang around when somebody sort of, for lack of a better word, lords it over you that maybe they know something more or whatever, and everybody's on their own journey. But I think that's another thing. It goes back to trust the Lord. Look to the Lord first to do it, because I will say this, Jeff, and sometimes it's good to know yourself. I could very easily be one of those guys. I don't like that, but sure. But I could just from a past life, you know. I mean, everybody has a past life, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking like 200 years ago. I'm talking about a life before Christ. Just so we're clear. But everyone has a past life, but you meet Christ and he changes you, and some things he changes immediately, and some things, I think me maybe more than others, I'm a work in progress. That's one of those things that I could recognize how it can be done. And maybe that's a reason, again, why I recognize is we have to be kind of careful not to turn people off.
Yeah, and using the Bible as a weapon is, people do that, and it puts people off. It doesn't bring anybody to the Lord.
No.
It forces them away.
Right.
So in terms of how to deal with people, there's a beautiful scripture in Luke 12:12. Where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. You ought to rely on prayer and the Holy Spirit, not hitting somebody over the head, as Pat suggested, with a baseball, using the Bible as a weapon, but instead pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you to whoever you come to. And I guarantee that the Holy Spirit will help you to speak with gentleness and respect, which is what, of course, the First Peter passage tells us, that the important thing is you do so with gentleness and respect. And it isn't that we're going to find what happens. We are meant to be, I believe, a tap on the shoulder. But you know, we may not be the only tap on the shoulder that a given person gets. We may be just one of, who knows, dozens of taps on the shoulder that they come around at some much later date and say, you know what? Those people had something. I want what they had.
Right. And it's the way that we live our lives. When people see how we're living our lives and just the disposition, the disposition. There we go.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Of Christians. We will draw people to us, and they'll start asking questions, and they will want to engage in conversations. And many times, you know, I'm a firm believer that there are no mistakes. We interact with people, we meet people throughout the day, throughout the course of our lives, and there's a purpose for it. I know I've heard stories, and I've had this happen to myself, where I've had a conversation, struck up a conversation with a stranger about Jesus, and they'll say, you know, this is the second, third, fourth conversation I've had in the past week, and I look at them and say, you know, there are no mistakes.
Yeah.
There's no mistakes.
No mistakes, no coincidences. Well, this has been fun, Pat. The Pat and I started this on a quote from C.S. Lewis that reads, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." I believe that to be true to my very being, that this Christianity is true. And in fact, if it's true, it's of infinite importance. It's worth spending our lives getting closer to the Lord if we believe that. And I believe that, and I speak for Pat when I say that he believes it. And so I hope you will join us in this commitment to the Lord, this all-in commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we are in this world that seems to be arrayed against us, and Lord, we know that we can bring people to you if we just act in the way with gentleness and respect that you have asked us to do, to be a beacon toward you, to help people little by little to come closer to you, Lord. May we, each of us, in our own way, become closer and closer to you, and may we help bring other people closer to you. In Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name, amen.
Amen.